All right, look, if you will, in John chapter 18, verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and help us this coming season to grow an understanding of what Christ did for us and coming to earth, God in human flesh. Thank you for the salvation we have through Christ, and encourage us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is sort of an introductory sermon of, we're going to talk about the trials of Jesus. We sometimes probably just think, well, Jesus went to the cross, he died for our sins, but there was a lot that led up to him going to the cross, and that was the trials he faced. Title of my message is Hatred Towards Christ, but it was love that caused Christ to accept and go. The judicial systems in America have a lot of their background in the Judeo-Christian ethic. As a matter of fact, God had established in Deuteronomy Israel's legal system. First, they shall judge the people with just judgments, which means they were to be fair and even-handed in what they did. Secondly, they were not to respect persons, which means they were not to show favorites. Each and every one of them were to be treated equally when they came to the courtroom. Thirdly, they were not to take a gift, which means to take a bribe, because it says a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. That was their standard in the legal system. And I want to look this morning at just the first trial that Jesus faced before Annas. And the Bible says again, then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. After the Babylonian exile, Israel sort of divided themselves up to families and from the priesthood and other places to become courts. The council came to be known as the Sanhedrin in each place. And the Sanhedrin means just a sitting together. In Jerusalem, the Sanhedrin was 70, made up of judges, made up of scribes, made up of high priest. And the high priest was the Supreme Court justice, making 71, so if there was ever a vote, there would never be a tie. That formed the High Court of Israel. But it had degenerated in years to not be what God intended, and it had become a place of politics. And Annas was one who served as a high priest. And they brought Jesus to him first. And this violated all the rules of Jerusalem. It was absolutely illegal. He was illegally tried without being charged with a crime. He was tried at night and in private at midnight. And that violated the rules. It was never to be a private trial. It was always to be done the daytime in public. He was allowed no defense. He was arraigned before an indictment was brought against him. They were trying to find a charge against him. They had no charge against him. They tried to get Jesus to indict himself. And they brought him probably to Annas the first, who was the former high priest. And they brought him to him first because Caiaphas, his son-in-law, was arranging another meeting with the Sanhedrin, and they needed to have time to get their act together. And I would describe it this way. It would be like someone getting ready to charge someone with a crime, and they take it to the former Supreme Court Justice of the United States, not the current one. They go to his house at midnight, and they're trying to find something against you so they can charge you. That was the illegality of the trial. Annas was removed after 4 or 5 years because Rome thought he was too powerful. The high priest in Jerusalem culture was a powerful man. He was well respected and and powerful. And Rome thought he'd gained too much power, and so they politically removed him. And through his sons, and then Caiaphas became the high priest. I want to notice three things about this trial. First of all, the corruption is seen by the way they did things. The corruption is seen by the high priest himself. The high priest was really a very wicked man at this time. And he was a corrupt man. And his corruption was seen in the way he conducted himself and the way he did things and the way he planned this trial so that they could find something on Jesus. Now, Jesus voluntarily went to the cross, but Annas and all the rest of them wanted to make sure they could find something illegal against him. His corruption is seen by his motives. His motive was money. Annas controlled the temple changers, so much referred to as the bazaars of Annas. The temple changers were people within the temple, and God had established in the Old Testament that we brought sacrifices. And those sacrifices pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And particularly at Passover time, the people were to bring sacrifices. They were to bring sacrifices to atone for their sins, looking forward to the person of Christ. Annas was in charge of that. And no one gained entrance into that setting unless he approved it. And what he did was he approved vendors who were called the money changers. And they set up shop within the temple and within the outer area of the temple. And there were two things that people would do. Either you brought a gift of money as an offering, or you brought an animal as an offering. But the temple changers had set it all up so that the money would go to them and the kickback would go back to Annas, the high priest. And so the first thing they did when they brought money, the people said, oh, sorry, the image of Rome is on this money. You can't use this money because that would be considered idolatry. We don't want anything but Jewish money. So the money changers were people that exchanged the money and gave them Jewish money instead of Roman money. So if I came to bring a sacrifice and all I had in my pocket was the money, and so, oh, sorry, it's got the wrong image. You're going to have to use Jewish money. And guess what? The money changers charge an exorbitant amount of money to exchange the money. And you got charged, I don't know how much, to turn your money in so you could get Jewish money, and then you would offer that as a sacrifice or a gift to the Lord. And the people in the temple would take care of all that. And then they give the kit back to Annas, the high priest, who lived in a very fancy house, who was making a lot of money off this deal. It would be like someone coming to our church and saying, I would like to give to your church. And we say, sorry, the currency is American. And we in our church have chosen a different currency, and so you'll have to use our currency. Well, how do I do that? Well, you can exchange money for that. Oh, how much is the charge? 100% interest on that. Oh, okay. That's the way they did it. The second way you could do it is by giving an animal. In the Old Testament, you brought an unblemished animal without blemish. But once again, the priests who were in charge said, no, 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 no. You bring an animal and it would be an unblemished animal. And they'd look at that and say, no, 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 no. Not perfect, not right. You can't use that one. I'm sorry. You can't use that animal. That isn't going to work because there's a blemish on that. It didn't matter where it was or not, they'd find one. Oh, and by the way, we have some animals over here you can use for your sacrifice. Oh, okay. How much is that? Oh, the money changer said there's a charge for that animal. And so they would have the money changers who would exchange and charge for the animal. And guess what? They made the money. Guess where the money went back? To Annas, the high priest. This is the man that Jesus was standing before to be judged. A man full of absolute hatred towards the Lord Jesus Christ. His corruption and hatred is seen in the fact that his motive was money. You know why? Because Jesus, the first week of the last, or the last week, the first day, Jesus cleansed the temple of all the money changers and threw the money changers over. And Anna said, wait a minute, you're messing with my free market enterprise here. Can you imagine going before the former Supreme Court justice whom you just ruined his business enterprise? That's who Jesus stood before. Anna's motive was not justice. Anna's motive was not right and wrong. Anna's had one motive. We're going to find something wrong with this man, and we're going to have him killed because we're fed up with him. We hate him. His second motive was self-righteousness. In verse 19, the Bible says this. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Implied in that question, he already knew what Jesus had been teaching. And Jesus responded and said, Jesus answered him and said, I spake openly to the world. I ever told in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort and in secret, have I said nothing? Why askest thou of me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said, but he didn't want to know what he'd said. That was not his motive. Jesus had come on the Sermon on the Mount and had ruined their self-righteousness. To Annas and the high priest and to the Pharisees, we are righteous people because we follow a long list of rules. While we've got 600 rules added to the rest day, and we follow them, and Jesus didn't follow those rules. He didn't wash his hands the right way he should. He picked corn on the Sabbath. You shouldn't do that. And you have ruined our religious system. And so his second motive of hatred was his own self-righteousness. Hatred grows out of self-righteousness. Have you noticed our world today? You may think the world has become corrupt and immoral, but the truth is they are very self-righteous. They've established rules that if we don't follow those rules, we are considered no good. And those rules can be all kinds of things. And a lot of things are immoral that they're establishing. And if you don't follow those rules, you're out of it. Well, the Pharisees said, Anna said, we've got to find something to get this man. We've got to charge this man with some crime. The third motive was prestige. Verse 22 says, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus responded to that. But he said, don't you know who you're talking to? Do you realize what you've just said? You're talking to the anointed high priest of Israel. And do you realize what you've done? And the officer slapped him. You realize who you're talking to? I think the third motive of Annas was his prestige. I'm the high priest. I run the show. I'm in charge here in Jerusalem. I'm the one making the money. How do you think I got that big house up there? Why do you think I'm driving that limousine camel? Why do you think I've got all that? That's a four-seater camel I've got over there. Have you seen my boat that I take out on the lake over here? Have you seen what I've got here? I'm making money off this deal. I'm a righteous person, and I'm head of everything. And how dare you come and challenge us? The first trial that Jesus faced was before the former high priest, Annas. And he faced it for all the wrong reasons. And let me assure you, this was absolutely illegal. This was not a trial. This violated all the rules of Israel. It was being held at about midnight that night in secret at Anna's house. No one was to know. Violated all the rules. It would be like you going to trial and someone taking you to the judge's house and they try you at midnight at his house and they charge you with a crime before they've ever done anything in public. That's how wicked and evil it was. I think it's interesting that the earthly high priest is standing as the judge against the eternal high priest. The earthly high priest is standing in judgment against the eternal high priest. Do not think that the cross was just, it just happened. No, it was God's plan from the very beginning that Christ would die for our sins. But hatred by religious people is what caused Jesus to go to the cross. And as we study the trials, this is just introduction, as we study the trials, you will see step by step by step their absolute hatred of Christ. And you will see that Christ willingly submitted himself to these evil men to be judged by them, to be condemned by them, because he willingly went to the cross because he loved you and I. Jesus' death was caused by hatred, but his ultimate choice was caused by love. As Jesus told one, "Don't you know? I could have called 12 legions of angels down and I could have stopped this immediately. You have no power, but I voluntarily submit myself to your corruption and your wickedness because I'm willing to die for the sins of the entire world." I can't comprehend that kind of hatred, because this was not a hatred that, well, we don't like him. Do you realize that Jesus went through 6 trials in less than 10 to 12 hours? He was hung the next day on the cross and put to death. And never was that to happen. That was a total violation of Jewish law. Everything they did was a violation of Jewish law because they hated him. And Jesus voluntarily submitted himself because he loved you. He loved me. And that's what we come today to celebrate, the Lord's table, the sacrificial death of Christ, who voluntarily came for us. He came to remove hatred. He came to remove bitterness. He came to remove jealousy. He came to remove envy. He came to remove gossip. He came to remove all the things that plague sinful humanity by coming to make a change in our lives. And he willingly went through the turmoil of the process to be found guilty so he could die for you and I. Let's pray. Father, we love you today and we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ voluntarily submitted himself to evil religious people who were so full of hatred that in one day they had 6 trials and then had him put to death. That's what they wanted. But Lord, thank you that he did that. But you ultimately had the plan that Christ would voluntarily do it because he loved us and you loved us. And there is no way to heaven, and there's no way to be right with you apart from the sacrificial death of Christ. It is what we as Christians celebrate. And thank you, Lord, as we come to your table, we remind ourselves of the blood that was shed and the body that was bruised in our behalf. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.